Welcome to the community and the gallery for our first delegations and public forum, 18th of March 2025. I hope you'll recognise we're giving the public an opportunity to come forward and have our undivided attention. I'd like to acknowledge the Gumbenga people who are traditional custodians of the land and also like to pay respect for the elders both past, present and extend the respect to any Aboriginal people present. This meeting is being webcast and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. The Mayor and councillors are being video recorded. Any disclosures of interest, Mr. General Manager?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have none, have received none.
Thank you. Delegations, I'd like to call on Mr. Mark Percival. Come up. You've got 5 minutes and you're for the recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors, the executive of the council and the gallery for having me here. Tonight I want to speak to the benefits of having a tree preservation order. And I will try to be as brief as possible. Trees are a really undervalued asset for councils. My work in North Sydney Council was as an assistant tree preservation officer, part of being a parks technical officer in 1992 to 1995. In that council, we saw them for the assets they were. We actually moderated some of the work that was being done around them so that work would not harm them. Chiefly among these areas we have seen, I think for the last 20 years, a lot of valuations going on as far as trees are concerned. In particular, Melbourne City Council, working with Burnley College, set up a standard for the valuation of trees. That was taken away from Standards Australia later because there's still a lot of stuff that went on, a lot of work that has to be done. That valuation still exists and it looks at the type of trees, their heritage value, their health, their size, their location, and the cultural and the, I suppose, spiritual value of these trees, because some of them are seen as assets by our Aboriginal people. It might stun you to understand that a number of the trees that have been valued in Melbourne City Council exceed a couple of $100,000. So one tree is worth more than some buildings that are around the area. The environmental value of trees is quite significant, and one of the issues that we've got coming into climate change and this increased heating period is the need for shade. I'm a member of the Australian Institute of Horticulture. I'm on the National Executive of the Australian Institute of Horticulture. Our last conference in Coffs Harbour was called Shade, because we see it as a major problem as far as community health is concerned and community wellbeing. So when we start to get the days like we had in Barrowville on the 22nd of January this year, 45.8 degrees, out beside the street, and 37.6 underneath a stand of Callistum and Viminalis. Quite a difference, still very hot day, but that was the peak of the day. That was something that would be quite fatal to older people, quite bad for younger people, and quite distressing, and stops productivity. You can't work above around 30 degrees, 35 degrees Celsius if you're working outside. It's a workplace health and safety issue. When we look at the environmental value of trees, we're looking very closely at the animals that infest them or live in them. So we have insects, birds, arachnids, reptiles, mites, and various saprophytes, marsupials, and a lot of these trees are parts of movement corridors. And when we talk about a movement corridor, we're talking in particular about koalas. So the Greater Kowloon National Park is something that we need to think about when we're talking about tree preservation order. That gives council a chance to actually have some control over the situation and get rid of major confrontations. One of the things that is difficult for a tree preservation officer is the constant fighting between neighbours. But if the tree preservation officer isn't there, it sometimes becomes a police matter. And it's difficult on people. I know it's I've experienced the angst, and it happens quite regularly in this role, because neighbourly disputes over trees are quite a big thing. Having a tree preservation officer means that you actually, or a tree preservation order, means you can actually reduce community conflict, and that's really critical. People have a guideline of what they can do, what they can touch. As I said, we have quite a significant asset here as far as trees are concerned, but it's not categorised. We need to categorise trees so we can see which are the most valuable ones. We look at base width, we look at height, we look at age, we look at condition, species, and other issues attached to the tree as far as whether or not it's a rare tree, whether it's extremely important to other people.
Mr. Percival, have you got much more to continue?
Oh, probably about a minute.
You've got a move and a second. Thank you, Councillor Jones, to move it, and a second to Councillor McWilliam. You've got 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. Okay, so one of the most important things with the tree preservation order, apart from council control of this, it funds itself to a degree. When people want to cut a tree down, there is a bill attached. There are examples of this all up and down the coast. Most of the councils here have tree preservation orders, but climate change is the big one. Trees moderate temperature, and that's one of the most important things. And we need to think about that as far as tree preservation orders are concerned. We need to stop willy-nilly destruction of trees in public and private areas.
All right. Thank you very much for the presentation. Councillors, have you got any questions? Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Percival, with the devil's going to be in the detail here, could I ask your thoughts around the use of the diameter or the circumference or the radius of the tree compared to, there might be areas that are sort of like swampland that have a traditional, almost like a paper bark. I was coming back from Ballingen today and I noticed there's a great stand there. There's also a good example on the way to Scott's Head. These are sort of more like ecological zones. What's the experience around capturing that sort of ecological quality? And also, could I ask you about North Sydney? Was there a distinction between native species and exotics, for instance, non-Australian trees?
The funny thing with North Sydney Council was we were getting bush regenerators going in the place, and we decided that we didn't want to get rid of the lantana because it was actually a great place for the finches to hang out. And that upset a few regenerators. Then they came to understand that until we had something that could protect them, we had to maintain that cover. Native species are important, no doubt. They're food sources, they're ecological sources. It's really important for habitat for a lot of the areas around the place. Conglomerations of trees like swamps need to be part of a vegetation management regime, and a tree preservation without a vegetation management plan is a very lonely thing indeed. So you need to think about the vegetation of your area as an asset, and these assets can be massive. When we start looking at valuation of trees, we're looking at 500 mils above the ground, the stem diameter 500 metres above the ground. And then we start adding factors like the type of rareness of it, the type of species that there is, heritage value, locations that it's in, how long it's been there, what kind of community value has been put onto it, those kinds of issues. And this is where we start seeing trees turning into the $250,000 or more as far as value is concerned. And of course, there's been some furores about that because a lot of people see trees as a problem. And that's one of the issues that we've tried to work with the community in North Sydney Council about, and we had some success. What we found, our biggest problem was chopping trees down for views because of the harbour views, and so, or poisoning them. And these are some of the other issues that keep you going when you're involved in that situation. So A TPO is part of an educative situation, as well as being able to say, look, that tree is really close to your house. It's been badly damaged. It's going to fall on your house at some stage. I recommend you remove it and replace it with something. Or these trees in Delilah Street are just about to fall apart. And what we need to do is start removing some of them progressively and getting larger trees in place, ordering them, because there are advanced tree growing areas, to actually replace that stand and make sure that we don't have a deforested area or a paved surface turning up in an area like this, in this latitude, when we have these temperatures starting to descend on us.
Yes, Councillor Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quick question, and this sort of tacks on to what you were mentioning there. Would you generally, in a tree preservation strategy, also have those recommendations? Say we create a avenue of trees in Bowraville, would you refer to that as to what trees would be the most appropriate species?
Yeah, look, we do look at, in horticulture, what are the most appropriate species for the location. Particularly when we're looking at street trees, they've got to be tough. They don't get treated really, really carefully all the time. They have to be able to put up with some wind. They have to stop wind gusts. They have to moderate wind. They have to cut down dust. They've got to actually help with other things like that to make things better for the people that we're serving or that the council serves. So basically we're putting up a shade area in the centre of Bowraville that has to be strong. So we don't want something that's going to actually blow large boughs off when it gets to 20 metres in height. We need something that's going to be tougher. Yeah. So we need to look for that. It may be a local species. It might be something like Eucalyptus maculata or something like that, the spotted gum. Sorry, Corymbia maculata these days. And those bushes or those plants are the types of things that you would put in an area like that because they have to be tall. A Bowraville needs trees about 20 metres in height. They need to get there quickly and they need to be able to be safely managed. And so people, when you start looking at your asset, you have to have somebody looking at it that knows what they're looking at. So you end up needing to have, once you acknowledge you've got an asset, someone that's qualified to look after it.
Yes, councillors, Jenry.
Yeah.
excuse me.
Mr. Percival, how would the tree preservation order work with, say, like the beloved casuarinas or she oaks down at Wellington Beach at the V-Wall or Shelley Beach? They're very old. People love the shade from them, but there's no regeneration or understory planting or whatever, and they seem to, I mean, they have problems standing up to some of the conditions sometimes that they're there. I mean, how would a tree preservation order work with that? Something.
Well, one of the things iconic about a tree preservation order is that it's not an absolute do not kill. Okay, it's something where you have to get somebody out there that is qualified to look at what they're doing. When you have people that are going out working in arboriculture, they have to stick to Australian standards. And that's really quite important. There are Australian standards as far as pruning is concerned. That protects the council from liability. And that's a really important issue because there is a lot of risk involved in tree work. We have to see their qualifications. We have to see their insurances. We have to understand how good they are or how bad they are. And these are some of the things, the scrutiny that goes on to contractors is intense. And we have to have not just the cheapest price, but somebody's going to do the job and not be somebody we can be sued for engaging. And so when we're actually starting to look at, I suppose, the contracting side of things and the tree preservation order as it applies to the casuarinas, we'd need somebody down there probably every 6 months to have a look. And we need to be listening very closely to the public if there are problems. You know, and the public, once you've got them on side, are a great mate. If you ignore them, they get surly and vicious.
So just to clarify, tree preservation order is not necessarily going to have a regenerative sort of component to it? It's just going to have an assessment?
You see, the tree preservation order is one thing. It lets people know what they can take out, and let's put a set of conditions for removal of trees. So it's not saying you can't remove trees. But it's also a situation where it's got to be part of a vegetation management plan. And you know, it's the outdoors these days is probably one of the cheapest things to manage for the actual value of the asset.
Thank you. Any further questions? Yes, Councillor Angel.
Yeah, Mr. Purcell, have you got any current issues, what you've seen around this valley in high-density areas where you think there's been a problem? Like, have you got examples in high-density areas where you can say, yeah, this is a problem?
And I've reported it to council and I've had a satisfactory response. Earlier last year, we had somebody come through and absolutely butcher a bunch of trees across the road from me in Cook Street, beside the actual school, because somebody was worried about the trees being a little bit too low and brushing the heads of the kids. So trees should be actually pruned to around about 2.4 metres above the footpath. However, that wasn't done, and the people that came through just destroyed the place. They were really poorly qualified. I've since heard there have been issues with that crew, and the good crew at the time was working in Valla. And I spoke to Matt from council, and he said, "We'll make sure he works down there in future." But these are the types of things that happen when you don't vet your contractors, and that's a really important issue. Council's got, I suppose, a need to look at what's happening with new estates and basically get shade into those areas, because they're potential areas of major conflict. The longer you leave it, the more difficulty you're going to have putting in a street tree system. There was a situation in Fairfield some years ago. A landscape architect called Helen Armstrong put out 80,000 trees around Fairfield. Around 40 trees remained after a year, and it wasn't from bad environmental conditions. They were all removed by residents. They had a meeting and they were told that they were frightened that the trees would be a great place for robbers to hide in. And so I'm just wondering whether or not there was an increase in archery or what was going on around there. But it was an old medieval European attitude toward them that created this incredible level of vandalism, you know, and it was something that stunned us in the Institute of Hort. It's one of the things they actually spoke to us about. And we try and maintain that greening an area, as far as getting shade involved, as far as reducing heat, reducing wind surges, providing privacy, is a really good way toward getting, ongoing community health underway. And there's a group called Doctors for the Environment Australia that basically say the same thing, that you find better development of children, less conflict, less spread of infectious diseases, a huge list that they've got of issues to do with health in a pamphlet they've got about trees. So they're a major health issue, and we saw that in Melbourne just recently, where they can't plant trees and they've started putting things on walls, okay, and that sort of deflects glare and stops heat from going between the glass towers down to the street. And of course, UV, which is being radiated down to people, they absorb it in the skin. As far as Barrable's concerned, one of my other gigs is the Barrable Development, Community Development Association, and the plan for the main street of Barrable is really needing to progress because of the lack of shade there. That area gets so hot in summer, and 45.8 was exceptional, but if it's sitting up around a 38 to 40, on a number of occasions, as it has, that main street is an area that's harmful, and we need to start looking at doing something about it.
I know you referred back to Fairfield, but have you got any, like, as far as our new development in the valley? And I've been part of a reasonably new development as far as my usage of land with the entertainment centre. I can tell you that 5 years ago, it was really important to revegetate a virgin cut in earthworks, got measured. So for me personally, I think the council measures it, that vegetation regrowth, really well when there is development. And we're talking new development, high density development. I mean, you talk about Fairfield. Have you seen our new development and our new suburbia, so to speak, with any concerns?
No.
I know we sort of look at it and all there's always a green space or a couple of green spaces in any particular development.
Yeah, well, that's part of the Australian standard too.
Yeah, and that's. But I'm listening to what you say about those barrel trees, and you've got a satisfactory solution, is that they need to vet their contractors better. Is that not satisfactory to you? I mean, you've talked about that Matt's now vetting. Do we need to go further?
I think that, you know, it was a great example of what a good council does. I rang Matt, and Matt did something. There are a lot of councils that don't do anything, and the perception can be that if you don't have a tree preservation order, you don't care. And that's one of the issues that sort of starts to leak into, I suppose, the attitude of people moving into the area from Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. And these are all people that have a high level of amenity horticulture care run by their local councils. It seems to reduce the further you get away from a major city. Although, you know, here, this place is beautiful. It's an absolutely amazing spot. It would be a pity to see unregulated movement, removal of trees based on, I suppose, a non-policy set of reasons.
No, I just was intrigued, mate. You said you had a satisfactory result, you know, and I think that could be an angle rather than going down a different, completely different angle. You know, if we need to vet the arborists and the horticulturists we use to do our work to make sure they understand the standards, then surely that'd be a satisfactory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the issues I had when I was working at North Sydney, part of my job was watching the segmented paving being destroyed by the London plane trees and getting people in to fix that. And we weren't looking for the best price. We were looking for the best job. And these the issues that we could get a fair bit of flack from the community over, and we had to have everything prepared for that, because if we had a community that could have been very litigious easily, we kept them under control by keeping them in the loop, and that was really very important. We had close community association with most of our management plans. So I feel that we, by leaving it alone, by increasing in an area where there's an increasing population, we're allowing uncontrol or a lack of control on potential conflict. And that's one of the things that we probably need to think of as a council, so that we aren't spending all of our time putting out bushfires or grass fires, and we can get on to more creative things, because trees are a major source of conflict up and down the coast.
No further questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Percival, for your submission.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to call Mr. Zahn Peters up for delegation. He's also for the recommendation. Mr. Withers, you have 5 minutes.
That's a hard act to follow, I've got to say. I'm no expert on trees, but so hi everybody, hi Mayor, councillors, etc. My name's Zahn Peters. I'm a resident of the Nambucca Valley, residing in Scotshead. My family moved here about 8 years ago, though I have I've had family in this area since the 1970s. I run a photography business, and my wife works in New South Wales Health. My two children attend school here in Nambucca Heads. I'm here today to speak about something that affects every single one of us, and that's our trees. Not just the ones in our backyards, but all of the vital trees that define the Nambucca Valley and make it such a special place to live. It's the reason I moved here 8 years ago. Right now, we have an opportunity to make a real difference by implementing a TPO, Tree Preservation Order, a policy that would protect our trees, our environment, and our community's future. In the 8 years I've been living in our valley, I've noticed a number of mature old growth trees removed, large old trees that used to provide respite from searing summer heat. So my family might walk around Scott's Head, really hot day, old growth tree, you feel it's 10 degrees cooler. Like it literally, you know, you wish there were more of them, I've got to say. And we don't have a lot. And I think it's worth preserving the ones we have. We need to protect especially our urban area tree canopy for a number of reasons. The first is obvious, the environment. Trees do more than just look beautiful. They are the lungs of our valley, filtering out pollution, absorbing carbon dioxide and releasing the oxygen we breathe. They provide homes for native wildlife, koalas, possums, birds, and countless other species that are losing habitat. Without a TPO, we risk losing vital tree cover, leading to soil erosion, poorer air quality, and increased flooding. We've seen it happen in other regions. Once the trees are gone, so is the stability of the land and the biodiversity that makes this place unique. Now, there are economic benefits. I'm not an expert, but a little bit of study can show you that it's not just about conservation. A TPO, it's an economic investment in our future. Studies show that tree-lined streets and well-preserved green spaces increase property values by up to 20%. That means higher home values, better rates for council, more income, more attractive neighbourhoods, and a stronger local economy. And who doesn't want that? Tourism is also a major factor. People don't visit Nambucca Valley for concrete and deforested hills. They come for the natural beauty, the clean air, and the peaceful surroundings. Protecting our trees helps maintain the tourist appeal, bringing more visitors who spend money at local businesses. And then there's cost savings. Trees naturally reduce stormwater runoff, easing the strain on our drainage systems and lowering maintenance costs for roads and infrastructure. They also reduce energy costs. Shade from trees can cut cooling expenses by up to 30% in summer months. A healthier, cooler, and more resilient community. Trees are a matter of public health and climate resilience. We're experiencing hotter summers, and tree canopies play a crucial role in cooling urban areas. Without them, we face rising temperatures, more extreme heat waves, and greater health risks. There's an article in the ABC News today talking about the health of your heart. You're actually more likely to get cardiovascular disease in a hotter climate. And we need urban areas to be cooler. Like, we need more shade in the places that we live. Nobody likes walking around in an oven, basically. It's really important we protect especially the bigger trees. I believe that native trees should be encouraged. Obviously, there needs to be a balance between development and sustainability. Some may argue that a TPO will slow down development. But this isn't about stopping progress. It's about smart, sustainable growth. A TPO wouldn't prevent unnecessary tree removal. It would ensure the trees are only removed when absolutely necessary and that replacements are planted where possible. It's about accountability. So each person, each one of us has accountability to our society and our environment and balance, allowing for growth while protecting the natural assets that make Nambucca Valley such a desirable place to live. So, and I guess we have an opportunity here to leave a legacy for our valley, and we have a choice. Do we want to see the Nambucca Valley continue to thrive as a lush, green, sustainable community? Or do we allow unchecked clearing to erode the very things that make this region so special? A tree preservation order is not just about trees, it's about the people that live in it. It's about our economy, our health, and our future. Let's make the right choice. Let's protect what matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Please no. Yes.
Councillor Luba.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Look, my question actually goes, it tacks off some of the questions that we had for the previous speaker. And you're obviously in community, you've come from outside of the valley fairly recently. Do you think there's value? You mentioned the sustainability strategy. Is that TPO actually something that it's almost like branding, yes, we care about trees?
So I'd like to go back to when I finished my high school and before I went to university and I moved from the Northern Rivers to Sydney. And my mother said, why do you want to go to the city so much? And I said, because there's too many bloody trees up here. I just want to, you know, go to the city. I just want to see some action, right? So I moved into, you know, Surry Hills and then Newtown. And what I really noticed was that the local councils there, they pushed a little bit, but they had verges on the streets that were just concrete. And all of a sudden, you know, they really got people excited about planting trees on their verges. And all of a sudden, you ended up with this really green place. And it, you know, cars could park under and be cool. The whole suburb was cooler. But also, the green just became an incredible, you know, it just made everyone want to be there. You know, and then you go out further out west where all the gutters, you know, everything's built like that with no trees at all. And it's hot as anything. And everyone sits inside with their aircon on. It's just not enjoyable, you know. We have an opportunity. We've already got beauty. We should keep it, you know. We should make it even better. That's my belief. We should make it better because we've got an opportunity. And if we fail, if we just let it all just fall over, then we're just going to end up, you know, like Western Sydney somewhere in a hellhole. Sorry, yeah. It won't be that, but yeah, going a bit overboard there. But yeah. I just think it's a beautiful place, and we really, you know, I'd love personally, man. You can't tell people what to do. But when I walk around, especially Scott's Head, there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of green. I'd love to see people getting passionate about it and putting in native stuff and, you know, making it a beautiful place to come to, you know, make it even more beautiful than it is, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Jones?
Mr. Pithers, so just listening, you're fully, your comprehension is that safety, the trees would be able to be removed, power lines, overhanging, that's the understanding, that there are checks and balances here. This is not just a blanket protection order. It's. Would you think that's a community understanding that people?
I'm not a policy maker, so I think I leave that to people that understand policy. But my, from what I understand is yes. I mean, if you've got a tree that's, you know, hanging over your house and you're gonna, you know, you're in your office and it's the big branch is going to break off, of course you remove it. I think it's bound in community attitudes towards it. So, you know, it can work for all of us. It just depends on our, I guess, our attitude and how we look at it, yeah.
Councillor Jenry.
Mr. Feathers, do you think we should have a tree preservation order in rural areas on some of the roadside
veg? I actually personally believe that
has...
becomes difficult. I think, you know, I think... I'm not a farmer, so I don't understand farming. I don't think I'm qualified to deal with that. I do believe, my personal belief is there should be, you know, yes, you've got a farm. You should have a percentage of some green on that for the other animals, not just the people farming. That's my belief. But it's not my policy. I'm not a policy maker. But I think, you know, there should be pockets of nature everywhere, basically. That's my belief. But I'll leave that to the policymakers. Yeah.
Well, if a rural property had a big old tree that was there before colonisation and all the rest is regrowth, should they?
Oh, 100%.
Have the right to preserve
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, of course, unless it's endangering life or, you know. Mm. I mean, think about that. If that's taken 150 years to grow, should that person should you just be able to come along and just chop it down because you feel like it? I think you should at least say, hey, I want to do it for this reason and let the community decide if that's a good idea. But I think, yeah, that's my belief. Yeah. But I'm not on council. I can't make that decision.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Withers.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Mr. Pithers, I'm sorry. Okay, the next speaker, Mr. James Ford. Beer Creek water quality against the recommendation.
Good evening, Mayor, General Manager, Council staff, councillors, general public. I'm here before you to ask to be exempt from payment of my four sets of rates up until the issue at hand of the water pollution affecting my oyster leases in the Inner Harbour area are resolved, i.e. Beer Creek. Why do I feel this is a necessary move on my behalf? The biggest factor, time. The time it takes to resolve, solve and fix anything in government / local council. My past experiences, 12 to 15 years to get action towards a fix on the sewage network systems of the valley, dealing with numerous government agencies from one to the next and back again. On the carousel we go. We all have been, well, I have been to all the same agents, agencies trying to get help, to get a fix, to the point of them saying, stop contacting us from the EPA. And now only 2 weeks ago from the Environmental Minister, they have put me back in the hands of the EPA. So I am as to ride the carousel yet again. So with every day, week, month, season, I'm losing out. Dollar value in all aspects of my business, from weekly earnings to expansion to end of business sale. As most of the councillors in the room are small business owners, you must understand this and my frustrations. So why should I be paying an institution that has the handbrake on my earnings and business retirement package? Why do I feel so misled and confused to a resolution in the new future? My last correspondence with council when I spoke at the meeting was they were done until I could prove something myself other than photographs of bubbles in the water. The reason? Don't have manpower or funds to chase this up. Now, last correspondence with the EPA on the 5th of the 3rd, 2025. In their email, they mentioned that council have indicated to continuing investigations into this matter. They also mentioned there is a range of tools available to the council under the protection of their Environmental Operations Act in 1997. And also the EPA offered to take joint inspections of the area with council, which to the best of my knowledge has not been taken up by council. Why? My gut feeling is they might be scared of what they'll actually really find. Why should I be paying somebody whose lack of duty of care cuts my dollars to pay my bills? My business is currently, as I speak, shut down under a mandatory 21-day closure due to poor, mismanaged infrastructure with another sewage spill. Yet again, council affecting my earnings, just like previous years. Xmas closures, Easter closures, 6 months out of a 12-month period, and you wonder why I have no faith. My reason for looking for at cost savings, yet again, I've looked around and studied, and I have found a solution to which I can grow spat onshore, but it's all added costs and new infrastructure. But I believe I can bastardise a cheap engineered model and have lots more. I have lots more, but only have a short period of time to express my feelings and my point of view. Thank you for your time and ears.
Thank you very much. Any questions, councillors? Yes, Councillor Jenvey.
Mr. Ford, can hear your frustration loud and clear. Just a question around the iron bacteria. Is that the thing that's been put in our report at the end of there, that they're bubbles in water courses can be naturally occurring, not always the result of pollution? There are known sources of iron bacteria from groundwater in Sunbird Drive. Have you got any comment on the iron bacteria?
Well, that's a move away from the detergent detection that was in the first lot of studies. So again, my faith in which direction that they're going, I don't feel very strong there's going to be a resolution or a fix in any short period of time.
Any further questions? Councillor Simpson.
Thank you very much, James. I was wondering whether you had had any follow-up with CSU potentially helping you with some testing on the waters?
I'm still waiting for Kirsten Beckerdoff from there to come down and contact me. Yes, they are sending an honours student to do some research around the Nambucca Valley. Yeah. Yes, they were hoping to put a program in down in that area to monitor urban runoff as part of their specialised program on the Nambucca. It's still in the Nambucca. But as for the testing and things, nobody's gone up and tested where I've actually shown the bubbles of the creek in the Dipper of West Street. Nobody has done a test in that area. That's where it's most concentrated, to find out what the actual product is. Hence my frustrations that we're not getting any closer. We're not, you know, it's my business. It's my earnings. I'm out there busting myself 6 days a week to try and get it to eventuate into something productive. And, you know, it's debilitating. It's a handbrake on my life. And I'm just trying to get ahead.
Any further questions? Further questions? Thank you very much,
Thank you.
Mr. Ford. Councillor, there being no further business, I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much.